WATT-FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I am your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson tonight from WATD and Donna Rodriguez from PAC TV asking questions. This election race is for Plymouth County Commissioner with Republican incumbent Sandra Wright, good evening, and Democratic challenger Alex Bazanson, both in studio and they're running in the general election this fall. Timing you all is our own Lenny Rowe, and we're joined by media partner Brockton Community Access. Thanks so much for that. Now, looking at timing, this is something we go over each time. Remember the colored construction paper from back in grade school? That's right, we brought it back. Green means go. We even wrote green on the sheet. Yellow means 10 seconds, doesn't mean drive faster. And red means, I know, it's hard to say that without laughing. And red means stop. If you're on red and you're still talking, I give you a 5-second grace count. If you're still talking, you get the bell. If you're talking after that, we cut your mic. Okay, so we try to be really good with the time on that. Our format is very simple. We have asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready, no longer than 2 minutes, and a 1-minute closing statement. Then we have a round of questions from our reporters here and a lightning round. In the first round of questions, the answers are a minute, and we're timing you on that. And lightning round, which is the best part because nobody can do it, is either yes or no answers, and the reporter will ask you what they want or one or two sentences tops. And we try to stick to that and no rambling. And we always tell people, please try to keep your answers to around a minute. And if you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell, as I've already warned you. A lot of warnings here, just like being a fourth grade substitute teacher. Tough, start out tough, that's the best way to do it. We chose opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie. So we will begin with Alex Bazanson, and then we will go to Sandra Wright. We reverse that order at the end. So let's get started. Good evening and welcome. Alex Bazanson, your opening statement to our listeners.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you to WATD for hosting all these forums. They're very informative. But my name is Alex Bazanson, and I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner because I have more than 30 years of municipal and county government experience and the ability to do the job on day one. I am in my second term and currently chairman of the Abington Board of Selectmen. I am the former vice chairman of the Plymouth County Advisory Board. I have been a water commissioner, and I served 23 years as a conservation commissioner. My wife and I founded the nonprofit HUG Foundation to help people in need, and we also founded the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition to help those affected by addiction. I have always been willing to work across the aisle for the benefit of all, and as your next county commissioner, I will meet with all town managers or administrators and the mayor of Brockton to see what the needs are of all of Plymouth County's communities and how the county can help. As your next county commissioner, I will work to alleviate some of the water problems plaguing our small towns. And as your next county commissioner, I will work to expand the county procurement program to help save the town's money. I will look into regional transfer stations and other countywide services that will benefit all of Plymouth County. I have stated publicly that I will never endorse a horse track or a casino on the wooded lot owned by the county. My opponent in this race has endorsed it, even after 88% of the voters in Plymouth voted to reject it. As a matter of fact, the advisory board was notified by the lessee before we were notified by the county, and that's not transparency. If you want a commissioner that will be transparent and record meetings for all the residents to see, then I'm your candidate. If you want a commissioner that will hold regularly scheduled meetings at convenient times for residents to attend, then I'm the candidate that will make those changes. My campaign is based on my accomplishments, my merits, and my willingness to work with all parties. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a statement from Alex Bazanson. Now let's go to Sandra Wright.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me here this evening. I do appreciate it. I came into Plymouth County back in 2010. I'll tell you a little bit first about, you know, what I've done. I started out as the Board of Health in Bridgewater. I ran for that and I won. I ran for town council and I won. Then I ran for county government, knowing that I wanted to go on and just do a little bit more for my community. When I ran for county government, as you probably all know, and for some of you who don't know, the system was completely broken. It was shattered. There was just no way, and on the ballot that year was to abolish us. Sheriff's office was taken over by the state. Our audits hadn't been done since 2002. The courthouse rent wasn't being paid, and on the ballot, like I said, was to abolish county government. I have put my blood, sweat, and tears into that, revamping the county commissioners and for the county. I think that we have worked hard and put everything that we possibly could into it. Back then, there were many other obstacles that were in front of us. We also had $1.2 million structural deficit, which we had to work hard. We did go around, we did work with the towns, we did communicate with them, we did go out and do regionalized services with them. We have expanded our procurement system within our office, and we've done a lot more. We have also have programs for a lot for the county. We've done many different things as far as, you know, the Municipal Health Group. We've also done the car bid, vehicle bids. I also worked 18 years in the emergency department. I was also a firefighter 15 years. I know what people need. I know what they want. I know what their needs are. I've gone out. I've listened to them. I've been a good listener, and I continue to do that throughout the time that I am going to be a county commissioner. I look forward to serving you for the next 4 years, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Sandra Wright with her opening statement. Now let's go to questions, and let's go to Donna Rodriguez from PAC TV. Questions for our candidate.
Thank you, and thank you for having me here tonight. My first question for you is, in looking at county government today, what do each of you feel are the top challenges facing county government right now?
Let's start with Alex Bazanson.
Well, some of the, COVID has taught us that we need to do more regionalization, and that includes, like I said earlier, transfer station, the water issues that are plaguing the towns. These small towns can't handle some of these things on their own, and they need help doing it. And that's the purpose of county government. I want to see a lot more regional services, whatever the town needs. The county should be the conduit between the federal government and the local government, and they should be the ones out there on the forefront of helping solve some of these problems.
Okay. Same question for Sandra Wright.
Thank you. I'm glad you asked that. When I first came into county government, the first thing I did is when I hit the ground running, I started going out talking to the towns about regionalization. I don't feel that back in 2010 the towns were all on board about regionalizing. I don't think that they really felt like they needed or wanted to give up services. But I think over time it has definitely come into play, and they're looking at more resources as far as regionalization. And also one thing that Mr. Bazanson said is that I never, ever endorse the horse track or the horse racing. I don't know where you came up with that. County government was put out a proposal, and we accepted the proposal. Just, it's simple. We accepted it. We had no choice. They were the only ones that responded to it. So we were obligated to give them a three-year study and to find out what we could do with that 100-acre lot down there. I never endorsed anything. And I don't know why you say such a thing when you, in the 12 years I've been a county commissioner, you have never been to one of our meetings.
Okay. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to say where you got the idea that you said that
first
you didn't.
First of all, I haven't been to one of your meetings because you never can hold your meetings when you advertise you're holding them. Want me to go through the list?
Sure.
Again, you got 30 seconds.
And you could have voted no on that contract that you gave, because the proposal said horse track in the contract.
Okay. Do you want 30 seconds to say about your meetings, that you never hold them when you say you're supposed to?
Yeah, I have not. Because he's never been to a meeting, he has no idea when we have our meetings. The only thing I can say is back at one point, we thought it might help the communities to go into our communities and hold a meeting in their towns. After going around, doing a road trip, as we called it, a lot of people didn't show any interest, and we didn't really think that it was in their best interest. So we went back to county, Plymouth County, and held our meetings. Other than that, we've always had our meetings posted and up for everybody to see.
Okay. All right. Any follow-up questions, Donna, for that?
The question had been the top challenges, and I heard regionalization and then going in different directions. I didn't really hear an answer of this is the number one challenge and the number two challenge in the county right now.
Okay, so you want to ask that again?
If I can.
Something more specific. Let's start with Sandra this time.
Thank you.
So I've always been an advocate for regionalization. I think that there's a lot of things in the towns. They, you know, are overburdened by so many different aspects that they have, you know, fire, police, and teachers, you know, really drains the towns. I think that there are certain things that we could do. We do regionalize. We do a lot of our you know, vehicle bid for our community. That's regionalization, really. We do the snow, the salt melt and stuff. We regionalize for that, helping our housing authorities. And there's a lot more. I've talked to my town managers. I start from the letter A and go around the alphabet to all my towns, meet with the managers, and, you know, I talk to them, you know, what they think, and also with all this money that's come in, how do they feel that they're going to handle things after this, you know, it's done? We've talked about simple things as far as the dog offices. You know, maybe we could regionalize that. Maybe we could regionalize, you know, doing excise taxes. Maybe we could regionalize a lot of different things that the towns have. Thank you.
Same follow-up with Alex Bazanson.
So two of the biggest challenges I see, and that I would like to see the county take a more active role in, is the trash or transfer stations and water. Those are two issues that affect almost all the towns. Brockton doesn't have a water problem, but the trash is a huge budget buster in the town of Abington and other towns. So I would like to see some regionalized transfer stations that we can bail the cardboard and bottles in different bins and different things. And the county could probably make some money on that. I mean, the recycling is down now, but it's going to come back, and there are still some things that are being recycled. And the other big issue is water and the PFAS in the water. And the towns need some help doing that. We can't do it on our own. So I think the trash and water are two of the biggest issues that I'd like to help solve.
Okay. Let's go to Charles Mathewson now. Questions for the candidates?
Preparing for this, I asked people who pay taxes in Plymouth County.
That's mine.
Yeah. Well, this is mine over here.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Now that we have that set. I asked taxpayers in Plymouth County at random what I should ask you tonight and what they want from county government. And I got answers like, that's the sheriff's department, right? No. That's the, what is it? And people really didn't know. So my question after that exercise is, what if county government went away? What would be the difference? What would people notice? Alex?
Well, I think that people would notice some things. I think, Treasurer Tom O'Brien and his staff did a great job with the CARES Act and the ARPA money. I think that would have been handled by the state. We wouldn't have received, each town would not have received as much as we did in the time we did. Tom O'Brien did a great job, his staff did a great job, and the outside firm that they hired did a great job. That would be one thing. In a national emergency like that, I think, is when you find out that you need your county government to help you. The rest of the state, the counties did not handle the money, and they didn't receive as much.
I lost my train of thought here. What was the question again? What else would go away? And the procurement and things like that. And the potential for regionalization of a lot of services. And I think if the county is run correctly and we get more regionalization, people are going to start realizing that the county government is working for them.
Senator, what if the county government went away? Would people notice?
I think there'd be a lot of hardship with throughout the different towns. We do service our towns a lot, and we do help them in a lot of different ways that, in any ways, no two towns are alike. I think Mr. Bezanson had said about Treasurer O'Brien's office doing such a great job. I sort of take little offense to that because I think it was a whole team that put that together. It wasn't just the treasurer's office, and he did do a fantastic job, but it was also the three commissioners, and we took a big heat about taking the COVID money that we had put in for. It was not favorable at that time at all, but we knew, and the commissioners were all in unison about, you know, what we had to do for our communities at that time. We knew what they needed, and we knew that this was even a part of maybe getting in and regionalizing some of the services and helping them with some of the things that they needed. So we took a big hit from a lot of people, all of our representatives and senators and the governor and so many other people, including you. And
I endorsed it when Mr. Hanley called.
So I think that, you know, we take great pride in what we've done and how we stuck our necks out there and did a lot of things. In fact, I'd like to have you tell the public, you know, how much money did we actually give you and how many test kits did we give you, Mr. Bezanson?
Okay. We're going to ask the questions tonight, but I want to give you 30 seconds to respond to the first comment she made.
Mr. Hanley called me prior to the county getting the money. I was, I believe I was still on the Board of Selectmen then, or I was running, and he asked me my opinion, and I said, I think it's a great idea for the county to do this. Okay. My opponent in the primary, you may have me confused with, was against it, but I was in favor of this from day one. And we got about $2.3 million, I believe.
Okay. I want to do a follow-up question about, considering we're on the ARPA funds, can you, Sandra Wright, let's start with this. Can you explain this is a two-part question, so I give you a total of 2 minutes. First part, can you explain the audit process regarding the administration of the ARPA funds? And the second part is, do you think there needs to be another one?
With the ARPA funds? Mm-hmm. Well, we've gone out and told our towns, you know, when it first began, do not spend the money. You've got 3 years to spend the money. Get to your towns, get with your boards, and get a plan going. There are a lot of moving parts with the ARPA. I was very concerned in going and taking the ARPA money because of the moving parts that, you know, today it's one thing and tomorrow it's another thing. So the towns haven't. They took our advice, thank goodness, and they are taking their time on it. And they are going to their boards and they are getting, you know, seeking what kind of projects that they want to do. They do have to apply, you know, on the application for what their needs are and what their plan for the money is. And I'm sorry.
That's what the audit process is regarding the administration of the funds. Mm-hmm. So do you think that that's enough and there needs to be another type of a more formal process?
No, it goes through many different steps before it even gets to the treasurer. You know, we make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and we make sure that the project is legit. And we also have the opportunity to know that, you know, when the town's audit comes up, that we're positive that it will be okay. We don't want anybody to go into this and have a project going that shouldn't be. So we're very strict on that. We have a lot of people looking at it before it gets down to the treasurer's office.
Okay, Alex, same question. Can you explain the audit process regarding the administration of ARPA funds for Plymouth County?
I can only do it from a selectman standpoint. And it is the ARPA is much more difficult than the CARES Act. The CARES Act, we spent the money, submitted invoices on an application form, and we got reimbursed for it. The ARPA is, there were two parts of the ARPA. Each town got a check directly from the federal government, And I'm on the committee that's spending that money now. And then we can submit to Plymouth County for infrastructure and broadband and, you know, several other things. But it's much more restrictive. And I know it is because my town accountant is having a problem getting reimbursed for a street sweeper that I spoke with Tom O'Brien last week, and I guess that's being resolved. But it's just learning the process for it. But I'm not sure if you're talking about an outside audit company to do this or what. But
what do you think? Is the second part, do you think there needs to be another one or a more formal type or a different type of an audit?
I think I trust the treasurer's office and the outside firm they have working on this.
Okay. And you feel the same, Sandra?
Yes.
Okay.
We also have the audits at the end of the year that will tell us, you know, okay, how we did.
And remember, you're listening to a WATD political forum here. We've also got our media partner here, Brockton Community Access. And it is the race for county commissioner. We've got the Republican incumbent, Sandra Wright, and we have Democratic challenger, Alex Bezanson. Let's go back now to Donna Rodriguez from PAC TV. Questions for the candidates.
Thank you. I've heard from people tonight, as well as in other situations, kind of leading off of Charles' question, if people really understand county government. And for me, it leads to a question, is there good communication? Are the commissioners communicating well with their towns and with their residents? So I'd like to know first from each of you, if you feel the county is communicating their information well, and maybe secondly, if there are holes, where do you think improvements can be made so people have a better understanding of the work that's done?
Let's start with you, Alex.
I don't think the county is communicating well enough. And it'll go back to the minutes and the meetings. I mean, on August 11th, they stated their next meeting would be August 25th at 5:30. That meeting never happened. On August 11th, they said there would be another meeting September 15th at 1 p.m. That meeting was actually September 16th at 12 p.m. They met July 21st on a Thursday at 5:30. They met on a Tuesday, August 2nd at 8:30 a.m. They met on a Friday, September 16th at 12 noon. And they met on a Thursday, October 13th at 5:30. There was nothing consistent there, and the meetings are not televised and not recorded, and I think that is a huge problem. Every selectman meeting, I believe, in every town is recorded. Board of Health, Selectman School Committee, everybody meets at a certain night and a certain time every month, and the people know when they can go and see these meetings.
Okay. Same question, Sandra?
Yes, please.
I'm so glad you asked me that. There are times that we have to change our schedule, especially with the CARES Act. We had checks that had to get out by a certain date. So obviously we had to call different meetings at different times in order to get the signs checked or approved by the commissioners and then signed by the treasurer. So there are occasions that we've had to change our schedule, no doubt about that. But it was only to benefit the community in getting their checks that they so needed. And we also had a time limit. I think that was coming up by September that we had to get all the money out. So the crunch has been difficult lately. And I think you just talked about August and September. That was a very difficult time for us. But we did what we had to do in order to get the job done for the communities that needed the money.
Sandra, more specifically, you're talking specifically about meeting schedules. Do you think the county communicates well with its residents? And if there are challenges, where do you think the problem areas are? Or where their improvements could be?
Yeah, no, I think we communicate well. And I know he mentioned about the PAC, and, you know, we're not taping our meetings. We reached out to PAC, and they had told us that if we recorded our meetings, they would certainly run it. We're very grateful for them doing that. We don't have the resources to do that right now. If PAC or anybody wants to come in, that would be perfectly fine with us. And as far as communicating with the different communities. We've been out there. I can tell you that we've been on a road trip continuously with our town managers as far as going out into the supermarkets, like I'm doing 82 hours a week right now, out talking to the people, communicating with them, educating them about what county government does, because nobody does know what county government does. But, you know, there's not much more we can really do other than go to the town managers and go to the board, select board meetings and just discuss what we've done. And we've presented a whole lot of checks to the town meetings so everybody in their community would know. Thank you.
Okay. Charles Mathewson.
Let's get to the hot topic. Jared Valenzuela, one of the three commissioners, recently said that the woodlot, that some people think would make a fantastic woodlot, he said that the commissioners would entertain other uses other than a racetrack, a convention center, a baseball stadium, et cetera. I have a two-part question. Is he speaking for himself, or are you open for other uses of that 100 acres? Sandra.
So this is something that Commissioner Valenzuela has challenged. He's taken this on, and I support it. I'm not for or against. I think I need to give the company the 3 years that we gave them to do their due diligence. There has been topics on several different things, probably about 15 different items, you know, a convention center, like you had said, you'd mentioned, a county fair, and so many other things. There's a biotech for that wanted to come in also, I heard, for cancer research. I think that they're all great things, you know, but I can't make any opinion of any kind until I actually see what they come in stating that they should do with the 100 acres. I think that something has to go in down there that is only going to benefit all of the communities. And apparently Mr. Bezanson is against bringing his town in 3% because, I'm sorry.
Alex, same question.
Well, I'm not against my town getting 3%. I'm against a horse track and a casino, like I publicly stated. Realistically, eventually something will probably go in there. But before I would ever vote for anything to go in there, I would need to see the infrastructure plan for that area. That is a heavily congested area now. They have 3,000 apartments being built behind Home Depot there. And 300. There's tremendous amount of traffic there now, and you add another 300 to 600 cars a day, it's going to be at a standstill. So I would not endorse anything until I saw an infrastructure plan there. And the people have to realize it still has to go before the Plymouth Selectmen, Conservation Commission, probably Zoning Board, and definitely Planning Board. So it's a long, long way off before anything will ever be built there. And Plymouth is still going to have the final say.
Okay, the follow-up is, when this question came before the commissioners and a number of people in the neighborhood showed up to protest, they were cut off, and there was a second meeting with Commissioner Hanley downstairs in the county office building. And he said that his whole motivation was that it brought in several hundred thousand dollars to the county, and that was his only concern at the time, was that the county would be receiving $450,000 and that would benefit the 27 communities. So I wonder what would happen if in these 3 years to that $450,000, would you favor giving it back to the communities in the form of recommending that the advisory board reduce the budget assessment? Or how would that money be used? Sandra.
Well, right now it's a feasibility study, and they are using our property. As far as what we would do with that, I don't think that that's come up in a conversation right now, nor with the developers. As far as, you know, we have negotiated a 3%, whatever the revenue might be coming in from whatever's developed there, would go out into our 27 communities. And I think that that's fair. I think that's for not only the town of Plymouth, but it's also for the 27 communities. It's, I kind of think of it as, you know, money that's given over and over, year after year, which is good. But we have to make it very clear that, you know, a horse track is not the only thing that is talked about going in there. And people are unfortunately stuck on that. And for Mr. Bezanson to make an opinion, I think that's wrong, especially if he was to become a commissioner. He would have no vote in that.
Would you reduce the assessment? Would you recommend that the advisory board reduce the assessment to the towns because you have this windfall?
Of the $400,000?
Yes.
I just don't have any opinion right now on that. I, you know, like I said, I've not taken the lead on it. It's Commissioner Valenzuela's. My thing is I'm doing a gun range.
Okay, Alex, if you are elected, would you reduce the assessment to the towns?
I think that would be a good option to show the town, to help out the towns a little bit. I think each town pays a different amount.
Based on the real estate.
Right. So Abington's number, I don't have it on the top of my head here, but each town would receive a different amount based on the real estate value, yes. And I don't think that's a bad idea to divvy it up between the towns. It is a windfall. It's not in the budget as income yet. So I think that would be a great idea. And I think it would help out the towns, although I think Abington is... And I say Abington because I'm a selectman in Abington, but I think it's $40,000 or $60,000 a year, something like that. That would certainly help a little bit.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Go to the commercial break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. You're listening to A Political Forum here. The race is for county commissioner. Got the Republican incumbent, Sandra Wright, her Democratic challenger, Alex Bezanson. We'll be back right after this.
McWiggins Pub is an upscale Irish pub with all the class of a Boston pub. The menu offers favorites like steak tips, fish and chips, meatloaf, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and pizza. The relaxed, comfortable atmosphere at McGuigan's makes it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. New hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to close, Friday through Sunday, 11:30 to close. McGuigan's Pub is at 546 Washington Street in Whitman, with the full menu available at McGuigan'sPub.com.
You like my new car?
Well, I like that new car smell. What is that infernal binging?
Oh, it's part of the driver assist. Standard equipment nowadays.
Assist?
Yeah, watch.
Hey, cut that. You're way too close.
Yeah, it's telling me that. See the text?
Watch out.
What was that?
You were driving too close. That truck snapped back a rock.
And now I have a cracked windshield?
You know, your mother was a way better driver assist.
Please. Kindly check your windshield.
I'm Peter Brown from Tiny & Sons Glass. We replace your windshield and insurance pays. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call. And thank you.
Ram Power Days are going on right now at Quirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 139 in Marshfield. Quirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is one of the largest dealerships of its kind in New England, featuring an incredible inventory of brand new Ram trucks, great customer service, and Quirk's Chrysler Certified Service Department. Quirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is accessible from all across the South Shore, just off Route 3 at the new exit 27.
Quirk works to save you money. Quirk works for you.
Visit QuirkChryslerDodgeJeepRam.com.
Go ahead. Indulge yourself every Wednesday night. Tune into the Francesca Lucas Show and join me for provocative conversation, intriguing stories, and inspiration. So sit back and relax, or be stimulated, or both. Because being connected feels good. And who doesn't need more of that these days? Don't miss the Francesca Lucas Show Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard medical faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Hey, it's John Shea here from Almost Famous Radio, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England every Tuesday night, 8 till 10, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass. Coming up tomorrow night, another jam-packed show full of new music and upcoming show dates to pass along, and I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Kayla Farnham. That's tomorrow, 8 till 10, right here, 95.9 WATD, and always streaming at 95.9WATD.com.
WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
That's right, I'm back. We're all back here in studio. It's the race for county commissioner. We just took a quick break. We're asking questions tonight. I'm asking questions along with Charles Mathewson from WATD and Donna Rodriguez from PAC TV. And, of course, we've got the folks with us, our media partner with Brockton Community Access. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Of course, the candidates are both here, too. Democrat Alex Bezanson, Republican Sandra Wright. Right before the break, we finished up with Charles, and now it's my turn again. I like to get right down to the nitty-gritty with things like this. After we talk so much about county commissioners, and over the years, you know, I admit I take my pot shots at county government all the time. I make no bones about that. Why do you want the job? What's the payback for you with a job like this, Sandra?
Well, I'll first tell you, when I came in 2010, I left, and after being elected 2 years later, I left a job making $50,000 to $7,200 a year. I was very passionate about it. I knew that there were some things that needed to be corrected, and we need to make a difference. I worked hard, and I knew what the communities needed, and I knew I could fix it. And I think in my lifelong, what I've done is I've always been a fixer, you know, on the fire department, working in the emergency room, doing so much and knowing what people's needs were, to listen to them, to be able to understand what their needs are and help them in any way that we possibly can. That's always a challenge to me. I love the challenge, and I certainly went out there and did the very best I could to start communicating. As we talked earlier about communication, there was not any communication. I think I you know, made that happen to our 27 communities, that they did appreciate what we were doing. So I will always thank you.
Just if you can remove your hands from the microphone,
sorry.
Just makes a scary noise on the audio. That's okay. No, nobody here is being strangled. She's just touching the microphone. That's okay. That'll come later. No, same question, Alex Bezanson.
So why do I want the position was the question?
Yeah, what's the payback? I mean, it seems to me it can be a very thankless job.
Well, selectman is a very thankless job. Conservation Commission is a very thankless job. But I was able to accomplish things on both those boards and the Water Commission. I'm a proactive type of person. I don't just go to the selectman's meeting and approve minutes and vouchers every 2 weeks. I see a need, or someone approaches me with a need, and I find a solution for that. When I first got on the Board of Selectmen, someone very passionate wanted a dog park. So we found nearly $200,000. I think it actually ended up being more than $200,000 from the Stanton Foundation, and we built a dog park. And I led the charge on that with another selectman. The substance abuse, and I've said it on this station before, great Register of Probate Matt McDonough took me to a forum when I first got elected selectman, and I saw the need for substance abuse coalition, so I did that. I worked on the rail trail. I got 500,000 gallons of sewer for the town of Abington from the city of Brockton, so I can do things.
Let's go back now to Donna Rodriguez. Questions for the candidates, please.
Thank you. And kind of to feed off what Christine just asked, you know, you both clearly are very passionate. You both want to do this job. It clearly is always hard work and sometimes thankless. So you both have a lot to offer. I'd like each of you to talk about your opponent's strengths and what you think they bring to the table in this position. And I believe we're starting with Alex this time.
Well, I don't really have a good answer, I'm sorry. I don't know Sandra that well. I know she has been on for 12 years, and I know she served her town of Bridgewater well. And I think she's feels that she's done a very good job as a county commissioner for 12 years. And we definitely differ on the way I think it should be run and some of the things that have been done there. But I congratulate anyone that volunteers, Republican, Democrat, or anyone that volunteers to do any work. And yes, the county commissioners get paid, but it's not a salary. I mean, you're not gonna live on it, believe me. So it was a lot lower several years ago. I actually fought to get them back up to 15,000 when I was on the advisory board from 7,500. So it's not about the money. I think we're both passionate. We just have different ways of doing it.
Thank you. Same question.
And Sandra?
I love the challenge. I love being out there. I love working for my community. I love working for the people in the community. As far as Mr. Bazanson, I kind of forgot what the question was, but I'm going to go back to that. Yeah.
Could you please speak to his strengths and what he brings to the table
as a candidate?
Yes, I'm
sorry. I really don't, other than Mr. Bazanson being 1 year on the advisory board, I really don't know him personally. I know some of the things, you know, that he has done in his town. I think that, you know, we do differ in a lot of different ways, and that's okay. It's good to, you know, differ and always have that situation where we can come back differ from our opinions. But I think that, you know, him being a commissioner, what questions me is that I know, you know, back when it was broken all those years and trying to rebuild it and make it to what it is today, why didn't he come in back then and put in the hard work?
Thanks. Charles Matthew, welcome. Charles Matthewson, questions?
Alex, you brought up water, so let's talk about water. A recent study shows that more towns other than just the Silver Lake towns are affected in New England, Massachusetts, by climate change, and it will affect local water supply. That was on, I heard that on a radio station today. Might have been WATD.
Great memory, Charlie.
Thank you. So what about water? The initial challenge, of course, is the Silver Lake towns and Brockton. You said Brockton doesn't have a problem with water. People in Kingston would disagree with you because they're causing a problem in the Silver Lake towns by taking all the water from there. What solutions do you see for the water fight within the county, Alex?
Well, what I meant was Brockton has a desalination plant, so they don't have a water shortage if they were to use that. And I think the water issue is just going to get worse and worse and worse over the years. So we need to find some long-term solutions. And that could be, as far-fetched as it may sound, but more desalination plants around Plymouth County. And that could help solve the problem. There's issues with the salt that it removes from the water. There's other issues, but I think it's definitely something that we have to look into. It's not something that will be resolved today, tomorrow, this year, next year. I mean, this is a long-term issue, and it takes some real long-term planning, probably with the federal government, obviously with the state government, but
thank you.
Sandy, what would you do with water in Plymouth County?
Well, I think that this has been a long time problem, and it goes back to the individual towns. When you think of, you know, the piping and everything that's been put in there, it's been 100 years maybe, 120 years or more. So I think even with the ARPA funds, this is something now that the towns can finally take a look at their water and sewer and see where their most needs are. And, you know, the runoff that we have on a daily basis, you know, the sand, the salt, and so many other things that are being washed into the water system, I think we have to take a look at that and see how we can and what we can do to correct that. But I think that's a more of a town situation. As far as the county, I think that, you know, the funding and any way that we can help them is what we should do.
Follow-up, I spoke with a selectman in Stoughton on a different subject recently, and we were talking about MWRA coming through Stoughton to Brockton. Would you be in favor or opposed to that, Alex?
I would certainly, that's one of the things we are talking, myself, the DPW commissioner, water superintendent, and our town manager has met with the city of Brockton, and we're looking at other ways too, and MWRA has come up. MWRA has recently waived the tie-in fee for all the towns. I think they're trying to get some more towns here, and that would have stopped a lot of towns from going. I know Weymouth is looking into it. I was talking to a council last night in Weymouth. They're looking into it. I think it's definitely an option that we have to look at. I hear it's very expensive, much more expensive than Abington Rockland, but we may have
Silver Lake is free, so.
Yeah, well, it's not quite free, but it's less than MWRA.
Sandra, would you support Brockton hooking up to the regional water, MWRA?
Again, I think that these are just in beginning stages of where the towns are finally sitting down and saying we really have a problem here. This again is a town thing. I think any way that the county can support the towns in that, I think that that's part of our job. That's what we need to do. We need to find ways that we can help them. But again, coming to the table, looking at other ways that we can correct that is very important. And I certainly would think that I would support it, but I think that, you know, we would have to sit down as a group and study and see where it goes.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. What does Plymouth County government have to do or more of to help or support small business, Alex?
That's a good question. Small business is not one of the things I've been concentrating on. But like I said, you know, when I got on the Board of Selectmen, people come to me with ideas and things. I'm really not sure how to answer that. We have some great chambers of commerce in Plymouth County, and, you know, anything we could do to support them, I think that would be great. We have a lot of small businesses in Plymouth County, fishing and cranberry and still some farms. That, you know, anything that the county could do to help with them. And I'm just not sure the exact answer to that, but we certainly need to help them, just like our towns help our small businesses.
Same question. Sandra, what do you need to do?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, it goes to the individual towns and, you know, what their crisis is in their town, you know, what the people in the community needs to do to help them. They're suffering a great deal. There's a lot of things that these small businesses, you know, they just can't get by with, you know, the higher wages that they have to pay, the insurance coverages, and you know, the prices of inflation and food, and, you know, I'm talking about restaurants, but it's tough out there. We're going to have to tighten our belts up a lot this year, and we may lose a lot more business before we begin to straighten out.
Donna Rodriguez, questions for the candidates?
A final question. You've both expressed some of the things that you bring to the table and some of the things that you're currently doing or would like to do. Give me one thing for each of you that you would like to do if you are elected as a county commissioner that has not yet been discussed, something that can improve county government and improve situations for residents.
Let's start with Sandra.
So I'm happy you asked me that because I'm right in the very beginning stages of building a gun range for our police and fire, or for the police right now. I'd like to then extend it out to the fire. Police are facing a whole different way in what they need for training, and so on the fire. These are things that we've never ever come across in years before. I knowing, you know, being a firefighter, you know what they're facing and what they're up against. Police, also, there is no place, or there aren't a lot of places for them to go and to train in their shooting. And when I spoke to the company that is also doing a study for me, they are. Actually, I told them I don't want just a gun range. We do have gun ranges around. I want 100% tactical. They need to be able to train for biochemicals, bombings, and so many other school situations, which we're not used to fighting in those ways, but it's very important in the future.
Same question, yes. Alex.
I would like to help out the employees, especially at the Registry of Deeds. The county commission has just approved a contract within the last year with them. And one of the things they did was they gave them Juneteenth, which was required, but they took away a personal day in doing that. It seems that the Registry of Deeds, starting right at the top with Mr. Buckley, is kind of an afterthought with the county, and I don't think they get the pay or the respect that they need. And I would like to see the money increased with the union workers, and I had been in favor of increasing the Register of Deeds salary this past year, and it was increased, but not what we had hoped it would be. So I'd like to see some more money going back to the Registry of Deeds because they are a huge part of the budget.
Gerald, final question.
I have so many of them, but I will ask, I think an easy one, what more can be done with the county farm, hydroponics, a return of cows, whatever. There seems to be a lot of space that's unused. Sandra?
Well, I think, you know, who had the cows and the horses and stuff was the sheriff. And, you know, we own the 90 acres of land down there. The sheriff runs or has 70 acres, which, you know, he did have. He took in horses that were at the end of their life, let's say. And, you know, he's done a great job in the farm. We're happy to have him on the property with us. And, you know, there was always that conflict when he went to the state and he left the county. We're two different entities. We have developed a 4-H over on the 20 acres that we have, and we are looking to develop that. And, of course, what that does is that also, you know, helps the kids throughout the 27 communities to get involved in the 4-H and bring their animals in and have some place to go and have a garden, and hopefully in the future we'll have animals there.
Alex, what more can be done with the county farm?
I'd like to see it a full working farm again, and there are cows there, just so you know. I saw them on Saturday.
Yeah,
10?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't count them. I was driving, but there are cows, and I was happy to see that. I would just like to see it a working farm, and if it, with the inmates working it again, if that's feasible, you know, I'd be all for something like that. But it is under Sheriff McDonald's control and not the county commissioner's. So.
Okay. I want to go to our lightning round now. This is when we will ask questions with either a yes or no or one or two sentences. And as I traditionally start this round of questioning, you know what the question's going to be because I ask it in every forum. Plymouth County government, stay or go? Stay or go?
Stay.
Okay, Sandra?
Of course, stay.
Okay. Lightning round, Charles?
What's your favorite place in the eastern part of the county, given that you're both from the west.
Okay. Okay.
I always love the shops. I'm a shopper.
Okay. Donna?
Least favorite Halloween candy?
Candy corn.
My least? Yeah. I don't eat candy. I just can't.
Name a candy.
I love the corns. I don't even know what's out there.
Peeps, come on.
Circus peanuts. There's no argument with
that.
Those things are like foam and they're orange. Okay. All right. What did you hoard during the pandemic?
What did I hoard?
Toilet paper, water, macaroni and cheese?
I think just an item.
Lightning.
Hoard. Tissues.
Okay.
You know, we had lots of colds.
That's fine. Yeah. Alex, lightning.
Pizza dough.
Okay.
Oh.
Donna,
what is your current read?
I always go to my devotionals, for inspiration, and during that time it was difficult.
Okay.
So.
Alex?
I just got the book Helltown from Casey. Sherman.
What's the news source you couldn't do without, Sandra?
News source that I couldn't do without.
Lightning here.
Oh, my goodness. These are tough questions. What I couldn't do without? Probably... I don't know. I don't have big needs of much of anything. Probably without my computer. I'm on it a lot.
News source.
I use the radio, and believe it or not, I have it on ATD all the time.
Okay.
That's why I knew about the spam today.
I'm very simple.
Okay. Okay, here's a two-part question. Do you sing in the shower or your car, Sandra?
Neither.
Okay. I was going to ask you, what do you sing? Nothing?
No.
Okay, Alex, do you sing?
I listen to a lot of news.
Do you sing in the shower or your car?
You don't want to hear me sing. Okay.
But which one do you sing in?
Neither.
Okay. No singers here. All right. We're going to go to our closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order. We began with Alex and went to Sandra, so we will flip that order. Final statement, Sandra Wright, 1 minute.
So thank you so much for having me here this evening. I look forward to the elections coming up, and I greatly appreciate for all the people, all the candidates, and I, want to thank so many people who have trusted me in this position for the last 12 years, knowing that I can do the work. I don't do it for self-gain at all. I do it for my community. I do it as best I can, and I'm always open and listening to people out there trying to help people, whether it's a snowstorm and there are people in great need of something, I'm hoping that I can always be available to them in whatever situation that they may have. I also, work on, I'm a member of the Suicide Coalition. This is a big deal to me. It's very painful. There are so many suicides, and I look forward to serving that community once again and helping as many people as I possibly can. I'm looking forward to 4 more years, and I have a lot more that I need to get done, and I know I can
Thank
do
you
it
very much.
In that time.
That's Sandra Wright. Your closing statement now from Alex Bezanson.
Thank you again to WATD and all our hosts for this and all the political forums. As an elected official, I view it as one of the most essential duties to express and enact the will of the people. In a democracy, it is critical that the public official reflect the desires and the wishes of the majority. That's what I've done throughout my career as a public official in Abington, and that's what I intend to do as your next county commissioner. This forum tonight shows the differences between myself and my opponent, and if you, the voters, want change and want real representation, then I'm your candidate. If you want real transparency in county government, then I'm your candidate. I hope that I have earned your support and trust. On November 8th, you have a clear choice to keep county government as it is or vote for me, Alex Bezanson, and elect a commissioner that actually has a record of accomplishments. To learn more, find me on Facebook or visit my website, alexbezanson.org.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a closing statement from Alex Bazanson. You've been listening to a political forum here on WATD tonight, of course, also with Brockton Community Access Cable. The two candidates here for County Commissioner, Sandra Wright, the Republican incumbent, Alex Bazanson, the Democratic challenger. Joining me to ask questions, we have Donna Rodriguez from PAC TV, Charles Mathewson from WATD, our engineer, Larry Nelson, and timing you all, Lenny Rowe with the beautiful construction paper there, also another engineer here, and that's Tim McKinney. Remember, this is going to be up on our online tomorrow. Tune in on election night. We'll have all the coverage for all the races. And remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Thanks for listening.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton.